regarding building something. Sometimes as men, we like building. We think about building. Sometimes we like watching building shows. There's plenty of women that also like doing things like that. But sometimes building, you know, especially with little boys, they like building things. Like they love like Legos and things like that where they can build. And perhaps the funnest part is destroying what they've built. So they like doing that too. But there's just something in the mind that has to do with designing and building and thinking and using maybe a little bit of creativity of trying to build something. So that's what we want to talk about today, is what does this kind of building look like? So on Mother's Day, we gave out a pen. So today we're actually going to give a pen to everybody. It's not just for men. It doesn't even really say anything about men on here. So everybody can see that pen. Well, you probably can't. So I did put it on here. So this is kind of what the pen looks like. So it's called a 7-function pen. So it's got 2 screwdrivers in it. It's got a level. It's got a metric ruler. It's got, well, it doesn't go real long, of course, but it's got the centimeter ruler, and it's got the little thing for your phone, and it's got a pen, too. You can actually write with it. So this is kind of like the man's pen for men and women and boys and girls. So this is the pen that you get for being a father or for having a father. Did everybody at least have at least a father participate somehow in your life? Like, if you know what I mean, like you may say, well, my father was not around growing up, but you still had one. It wasn't very good. But I do want to talk about that a little bit, because it's got to do with this idea of building. Like, what are you building? How do we build a family? How do we think about a design? What do we think about when, what do I want this thing to look like when it's done? And so there's a lot involved in building something, and so we want to look at some ideas. So this is what the pen says, in case you can't read it right there, but it says, building God's family. And so we could think, well, that means building God's church. We're a family. But it also means if you're part of a family, even if you're still just a child in a family, or you're a parent, or just a spouse at this point, you know, how do you build the family? How do we work together in this? And so the 3 words that are on this pen that were chosen is serve, lead, and encourage. And so this is kind of specifically to fathers today, but certainly would be inclusive for everybody. So Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3, by wisdom a house is built. So again, you may think, well, is he talking about building literally, you know, the structure where you live? You got 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, you got 2 levels, you've got a basement. Well, yeah, you have to use wisdom, don't you? You can't just start building however you want and just, you know, kind of go as you go. It really won't work out very well. So you have to have some plans. You have to have an idea of a concept of how it's going to look when you're done. And then there's going to be a lot of work involved. So, but also, what about our family, the people? Again, whether it's a spouse or a child or parents, whatever it would be, how is this wisdom applied to how we build our homes, our house, not the physical house, but the home? But through understanding, it's established. Now, that's really important, too. So what does established mean? It means that it's solid. Like, you don't want it just falling over. You don't want it blowing away. You want something that's solid. So you think about living maybe in a place where, in Kansas, maybe where you're in the middle of Tornado Alley. You don't really, if you can help it, want to live in like a mobile home, right? Why is that? Because it's not really founded very, the foundation, the structure, it can blow away so easily in a strong storm. So you want something that's solid with a good foundation. Through knowledge, the rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. And so when you're reading this, you kind of think, well, surely he's not just talking about like your residence on the street where you live. What are in these rooms? I don't think he's talking about like a nice couch. You got a big new flat screen. You know, you got some nice artwork on the wall, and maybe even the lamps are, you know, gold plated or something. I don't think he's talking about that. There's something very valuable in the rooms of your house. Well, as parents, what is that? That's your children. That's the people. That's what's really valuable in your house. So we spend all this time thinking about the physical house, but how much time do we really think about planning, investing, spending time with the people that live there? you know, some people go through like a whole renovation in their home, right? Like, let's redo the kitchen. I'm going to do it myself. We're going to tear everything out and put everything back in. What about the number of hours and the amount of money and the dedication that's put into doing a reno in your house? Well, I can find time for that. But can you find time for your family? Of putting that same kind of energy and effort and consideration in building what you want for the people that live in your home? Verse 5, the wise prevail through great power. Those who have knowledge muster their strength. Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. So again, the language there, you even kind of wonder what kind of battle he is waging. Because what do we think? If you're going to win the battle, what do you need? You need strength. You need muscles. You need many people. But that doesn't seem to be the kind of battle he's talking about. This is kind of like a mind battle. You've got to be able to understand and be able to think and to foresee. You got to be able to use wisdom in this battle. Well, we know that there's a battle going on in the world, right? There's a battle even for the souls of people. You know, there's a battle against God. So there's a lot of battles that may be going on in the world. Sometimes we may even feel there's a battle in the home between a husband and a wife, or parents and children. Sometimes even children to children. There's something going on, right? But how do we win these kinds of battles? Well, it's through having understanding and wisdom and patience and kindness and love and forgiveness and tenderness. I mean, all these things come into play in having victory even over struggle, over these skirmishes that we have. So it's not always about launching the nuclear warhead in the home in a figurative way. Got that figurative. Right? Sometimes it's about, well, how do we make peace? How do we get along? How do we resolve a conflict? So through this, it's kind of something we've got to plan. And this is what the Bible teaches us and encourages us as we continue to grow. So when we talk about building, how do you know what you're building? Well, sometimes you can look at somebody and you can tell what they're building by what they're wearing. But sometimes you can tell what they're building or what kind of builder they are by the tools that they have. So here are some tools. And if you've not guessed it yet, this would be somebody who's laying the foundation for the house. Maybe a block layer, right, for the foundation. Maybe they're pouring the cement, which would be the solid walls with cement poured in forms. Because the foundation is very important in the house. You can build a very nice house, but if it doesn't have a foundation, it's not going to be beautiful for long. It's going to start falling apart. So the question is, for all of us, especially parents, but even for people that are teenagers, maybe college level, to say, well, what do I want to build in my life? What do I want to accomplish? What do I want to see that, you know, after a while I can say, this is progressing. This is going in the direction I'd like it to go. This is looking like something I had wanted from the very beginning. How do we do that? How do we make these kinds of plans? Well, it's important that we have this vision that God wants for us, even within the family. But if you don't have a solid foundation, a firm foundation, something that's going to last, you're in trouble. So what do? You've got to build a solid foundation. Sometimes you have to spend more time on the foundation than you do the rest of the house. And you know what? And I get it. Most people are like, well, that's like a waste of time. Because you know what you're going to do with a foundation when you're done? You're going to bury it. No one's going to come and see the outside of the walls of the foundation. Right? Because that's all under the ground. But if you don't have that, you're going to end up with nothing. And so, especially as parents, we spend time saying, what's the foundation I'm trying to build? Does that make sense? If the number one foundation you're trying to build for your child is education, so that they can get a degree and get a good job, if that's the number one, if that's all you're concerned about, you may get that, but you're going to miss out on other things. If your number one foundation is that they would be successful in the arts or in the sports or, you know, in some other extracurricular activity or a fun activity, or yeah, they may do very well. Go Raptors. I didn't even follow basketball this year. Like, I had to find out on Facebook the day after. It's like, I didn't know they were playing. I didn't know if this was the NBA playoffs. I mean, I've kind of been out of the loop. But, you know, that may be your goal. But, you know, if our goal is something related to God's being spiritual, being godly, being faithful, well, what kind of foundation are we laying for that? Because let's put it, let's face it, the foundation is a lot of work. You see these people digging the holes for the foundation of the house. It's a lot of work. Now, here's something that's very important. You have to have a solid foundation. If you want to build something big, what do you need? Deep foundation. Sometimes you can tell how tall a building is going to be without anybody telling you, and without seeing any plans as they're beginning to build. How do you know? You tell me how deep they've gone, and you can tell how high they're going to go. Does that make sense? Because you are not going to build a 60-story building with a foundation that's 10 feet under the ground. Does anybody know that? No, you may have to go 100 feet under the, you know, they get the big pylons and they put them deep. Why? Building's going high. If you want your children to succeed in elevation, if you want them to succeed in a big way, if you want them to go high, you've got to go deep. That means you're going to have to spend a lot of time in foundation. See, a lot of times when we talk about the family and parenting and children, we talk about painting, I'm talking figuratively, you know, I'm just talking about the peripherals, you know what I mean? We're talking about, well, what kind of window, right? Well, what kind of accessories should we put in? But that's not where you start. You got to start with the foundation. So what is the foundation? How do we dig the foundation? How do we build the foundation? Tony Evans tells a funny story. That he was living in his house, and he had a crack that was in the wall in the living room, and it was starting to get bigger. So he thinks, well, the best thing for me to do is call a guy in that does drywall and painting. He'd come in. He came in, fixed that crack, and it was done. That was wonderful. But a few months later, the crack reappeared, and this time it's getting bigger. So he thinks, well, the last guy evidently didn't know what he was doing. We just need to call someone else in. Called another. He says, I can take care of that. Filled it all in, got it all looking good, painted, it looked fantastic. A few months later, there's the crack there again. He thinks, what's wrong with these people? Hiring these people to come in and fix a crack in the wall, and they're doing a terrible job with it. He called in one last guy and said, I got this problem. Called two other guys in. They fixed it, but it keeps coming back. And this man said, you don't have a problem with the crack in your wall. And Tony Evans said, that's my problem. It's the crack in the wall. That's the only problem I have. The man said, no, that's not your problem. Your problem is you got a bad foundation. Your foundation is shifting. When the foundation shifts, it shows up on the crack in your wall. If you're not going to fix the foundation, no point in fixing the crack in the wall. So what's the lesson for us? When, again, we see something's falling apart with the family. There's something falling apart with the kids. There's something falling apart with the marriage. There's something falling apart with my parents. We want to get out the spackle and the paint, and we want to do superficial stuff without getting to the problem. So the problem is I can't get really specific because the issues and the struggles we have are all different. But that's for us, people who have some wisdom, people who are godly, people who have the Word of God, and even people that have others that can help us. You know, even the Old Testament, specifically Proverbs, talk about, you know, this idea of counselors. That came up in the Bible reading. Counselors. Sometimes we need counselors. And this is kind of the role that parents play, and specifically today, the fathers would play in teaching their children, encouraging their children, showing their children, but it's not just through the things that they say, it's how they live. Because they don't only need somebody to tell them what to do, they need someone to show them what to do. So what do we call that? That's like somebody who goes, you know, especially in the trades, or even maybe in something like engineering, or something like even becoming a doctor or a lawyer, or, hey, even becoming a teacher or a nurse. Right? What do you need? Well, you can go to school and do all the book work. But last time I checked, like somebody like Chris Henry knows a little bit about medicine, but he also needs someone to show him. So he becomes an intern. Now you can say, well, I read the book. But somebody says, I got to show you. Right? Does that mean, like, would anybody here say, well, I got a medical problem. I need open heart surgery. I got this guy. He's half price. He's only read the book, though. We wouldn't say, well, it's a good deal. No, we would say, I want somebody who's got some experience and someone who's been trained. Not just someone who knows in his mind, but someone who's been able to do it under the supervision of someone else. Kind of sounds like growing up, doesn't it? That's what growing up's about. Not only somebody teaching you, but somebody showing you, somebody encouraging you. Let me show you how. So this is the idea for fathers. Can fathers say, well, son, let me show you how you're supposed to love a woman. Right? By the way, I treat my wife. I honor my wife. I serve my wife. Okay, my daughter, you know, let me teach you, you know, about how you can become a person of integrity. How you can avoid temptation. How you can overcome even after you've sinned. Right? So we model for them what it looks like to be a good dad, to be a good father, to be a good husband, to be a good son. That's a tough question to ask sometimes, isn't it? To be honest. For a man to say, what if my son grew up to be a husband and a dad just like me? Or what if my daughter grew up and married a jerk just like me? And I know that's none of you. I was just talking about somebody else. Right? So we have to look inside and say, well, what am I modeling? What am I teaching? What kind of foundation am I building? What is the priority? What is most important? And so if you want to go big with your kids, you got to go deep to build this kind of foundation. Well, the Bible speaks about this, of building something that's very strong, something that's going to last, something that we can actually build a life upon, not just for ourselves, but also for the future generation. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, consequently you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. Also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So, again, this is the picture of building something. He's not talking about a physical house. He's not even talking about a church building. But he's talking about building a family and building the church. But what does this look like? Well, it's got to be built on something solid. What is the solid foundation we've got? Well, it says it's the prophets and the apostles. It's the word of God. Those people that have told us how to live. They've actually received the message from God. We could say the blueprint. They've received the plans. And now they've written it down for us to read so we can follow them as well. If we want to build a house based on God's pattern, we've got to look at the plan. Got to read the Bible. We've got to figure it out. So not only do we read the Bible and see what it says, but don't we have a lot of illustrations of these people we're talking about their life? You know, their life was not always easy. Their kids were not always faithful. They didn't always succeed in every area of their life. They sometimes had to deal with some pretty difficult people. So whether we're talking about the prophets, the apostles, or Jesus, not only what they said, let's look at how they lived. And by the way, people say, but don't you know that a lot of those people had struggles and they had issues? And I say, thank God that they are written in the Bible. Because I'd hate to read about somebody. It looks like he had a perfect life. Didn't have any issues. Didn't have any problems. Everybody was good. Everybody treated him well. never struggled with sin, never fell into the devil's trap, temptation and struggle and consequence. Oh, we read about that in all the... So, you know, we can even learn from the bad. And that's something we can share with our family, even with our children. By the way, you probably, just probably, don't need to tell your children that you're not a perfect parent. They may have already noticed. But it's maybe not a bad time to say, you know, I'm trying to do the best I can, but I know I fail. And I'm sorry that I'm not the best example. I'm sorry that sometimes I have hurt you. Sometimes I've led you along the wrong way because I have failed. I have sinned. And you know something? I don't want you to follow my footsteps. Can you use my bad example to help propel you to be a better person, not a worse person? Would you forgive me for not doing what I should have been doing? I mean, this is something that can almost happen at any area, any level, at any time in the relationship. Some people can say, well, my children are older. They're adults. It's too late. It's not too late. Because you want to know something? It's never too late to humble yourself. It's never too late to go and say, would you forgive me? Never too late. You can go to them, even if your children are in their 20s or 30s or even their 50s, and say, you want to know something? I've realized throughout my life I've not been the dad I should have been. I've not been there as much as I should have been. I've been chasing some other stuff. You know, maybe it was my work, and maybe it was my hobby, and maybe it was my friends, and maybe it was my sports. Maybe it was the TV. I don't know what it is, but I've been chasing other things, and I was not there like I should have been there. And I'm sorry for that. Would you forgive me for not doing that? Can I encourage you somehow, my son, to be a better father? Learn from my mistakes. Be there for your kids. Don't invest in everything else in the world except your own family. Can you build a foundation? Can you dig deep? Can you give it the energy and the effort that you give to your workplace or to your favorite sport team? You know, to build something that's significant, something of value, something that's going to last. And so this is what he's talking about, that we build our lives on this foundation, apostles, prophets, and Jesus. Not only what they said, but how they, by their good example and their bad example, we learn from them. And hopefully we can grow. This is the idea of modeling, not only teaching. In verse 21, in him, that's in Christ, the whole building is joined together. Now this is talking about really specifically the church. In 1 Peter, it talks about that we are like living stones. We are, again, a building where there's bricks or block, and they're connected together, they're cemented together, and when they all work together, and each one plays the position, the part, the responsibility, bears the weight and the load that's required, but it's spread out over many different bricks, many different blocks, the foundation is strong. But each one of us, it's not a single thing to do, but it's working together. Each one of us, joined together, we rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. The holy temple. Now that's kind of interesting because in the Old Testament, it talks about the temple. The holy temple. You remember the temple that Solomon built? 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 15. David had a big plan to build the temple. And God said, you're a man of bloodshed and you're not going to build the temple. But your son's going to. But David planned it. He designed it. And I believe through the inspiration of God and even through looking through. What did he have to look through again? Oh yeah, the Bible. Right? So he looked through what's called the Decalogue. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But probably specifically Leviticus and Deuteronomy. About worshiping the Lord, what the temple would look like, what the priestly duty would, what's all involved, what's necessary. And so he designed this temple. It says there that Solomon, in 1 Kings 5 and verse 15, this is David's son who's building the temple. Solomon had 70,000 carriers and 80,000 stone cutters in the hills. So think about that. They're cutting stones, 80,000 guys cutting stones. So, I mean, they're big stones. They're not the little ones. And 70,000 people that would carry them into the city. And what are they doing? We got to lay a foundation. We got to put something together so this place is going to stand. And it did endure. It did stand. The only reason it was destroyed is because another army came in, but it didn't blow over because, you know, the big bad wolf came along. You know, it wasn't a big thunderstorm that blew it down. It was a very solid building. At the king's command, they removed from the quarry large blocks of high-grade stone to provide a foundation of dressed stone for the temple. So they spent a lot of time making sure the foundation was strong. Now, that's a pretty big workforce, isn't it? Those are a lot of men out there working hard to get this thing done, but it's got to be solid. It's got to be something that's going to endure. And what does it require? A lot of time, a lot of work, and a lot of resources. So don't think you can build a family with a minimal amount of time or effort or even investment or perhaps even money. It's going to cost something. The temple that was built was 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 45 feet high. So it was a fairly big building. It wasn't as big as some of the office complexes, obviously, today. This is maybe about 2,700 square feet. But it was solid. But think about that when we read this verse. Become a holy temple in the Lord. So we are the temple. So it's not the building. But if Solomon had to go through all that work to build the physical temple, what are we going to have to do to build the spiritual temple? So we got to get serious about this. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God, his Spirit, lives. Now, the temple was a place that represented God, even into the Holy of Holies. That would be like being in the presence of God, but God did not even live in the Holy of Holies. His power, his glory was there. But this says that God lives in us. So again, if he's living in us, what kind of work do we need to do to make sure that we are building something that is significant? This is David, King David. David shepherded them with integrity of heart and with skillful hands he led them. As he's leading the people, again, you know he wasn't perfect. But what does this require? Integrity of heart. He was sincere. He was committed and devoted. He was seeking after God. He was seeking for the welfare of the people. He cared. He was sacrificial. He was somebody who had integrity. Always integrity? You know the answer is no. But he did have integrity. That's what it says. But secondly, he had skillful hands. I mean, you can be somebody who is really committed to something and somebody that is really devoted and even really sincere. But if you don't have the tools, the equipment, and the skill, it's probably not going to be very successful. Does that make sense? Oh, so again, I'm going to build a house. I've got the energy. I've even got the money. I've got the ability. And I'm ready to do it. I just don't know how to do it. So I'm just going to wing it. Right? That's not going to work. So if I'm going to build something that's going to last, I need skill. What if I don't have skill? See, it goes back to this idea of, at the beginning we talked about the tools. See, we all have different strengths and we don't always have the same tools in our toolbox. Does that make sense? I'm not talking about your toolbox in the basement in your house. But I'm talking about the tools that God's given you in your life. Sometimes you've been given tools. But those tools are wearing down. Some of those tools that God gave you are broken. Because sometimes you broke them. Sometimes somebody else broke those tools. You had some kind of ability. You had some kind of dream. You had some type of passion. But it's broken. So what do you need? You need other people you can come alongside with to build together. So sometimes somebody else has a tool. You say, hey, can I borrow that tool? I'm building something. I don't have it. We share wisdom. We share knowledge. So, again, fathers, your responsibility to have the vision of what we're building and to lay the foundation and to make sure that things are going according to God's word. But sometimes you need help. You need others. Be working together, working as a team, working as the body of Christ, the family of God, working to build a family. And this is where the relationships within the congregation are so important. Psalm 71 and verse 17. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds, even when I'm old and gray. So these are some people, not only fathers, but grandfathers or great-grandfathers. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, until I declare your power to the next generation and your might to all who are to come. So, you know, even if you're beyond parenting, your job's not over. What's God calling you to do? Continue teaching, telling, training, mentoring, showing, educating, instructing, leading by example, showing from God's word, helping the younger generation so that when you're gone, they have something to hold on to. So when you're gone, they have something to remember, you know, other than Grandpa was a Tigers fan. I mean, there's got to be something bigger than that. Or Grandpa, you know, worked at the factory. There's got to be something bigger than that. Or Grandpa was popular, you know, at the local casino. There's got to be something bigger than that. So what are we leaving for the next generation? So we want to encourage our fathers. Many fathers are diligent. They're doing these things. And maybe just a little bit more encouragement to say, keep on doing what you've been doing. But maybe for others, it's like, well, I need to reevaluate. Just what are we trying to do here? And certainly this applies for mothers, students, singles. It's just the way we're building our life and what we're trying to do for the glory of God. If we can encourage you today in your Christian walk, if we can pray with you, if today you want to surrender your life to Christ and say, I've been building my whole life on me, and today I want to start building my life on Christ. He's going to be the foundation. He's going to be the cornerstone. He's going to be the one I'm going to follow. We're going to stand. We're going to sing this song. Let us know how we can serve you and be a blessing to you. Let's do that right now.